In this portion of God's Word, Acts chapter 13, let us read from verse 1. Now there were in the church which was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius the Cyrene, Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And I understand that the proper, correct rendering there is that they released them, or they let them go. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And may the Lord be pleased to bless for a few minutes what we would have on our hearts. Some of us keep in touch with the Lord's servants in other parts of the world, and it's one of the joys is to hear our brother giving a report that thrilled my heart, because that's what it's all about, is the going out of the gospel, preaching, seeing souls saved, baptized and gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's very solemn when God would choose out a person and commission that person and send that one forth into his work. I believe honestly that I could say on behalf of those who are in the Lord's work, that the reason we're in the Lord's work is that the Lord pressed us into it. Because if we had rejected or disobeyed the call of God, we'd have been living in disobedience for the rest of our lives. There are divine principles here that I believe that some young people and young men should understand. That the work of the Lord is a work that God equips men for. And in this portion here, we have an assembly that obviously was very exercised about missionary work. I remember at a missionary meeting that we had, and we have one every month in the city of Anchorage, we come together and we read letters from missionaries in different places. We had a servant of the Lord come up, and I asked him if he would like to speak at it, the missionary meeting. I was astounded when he said, "Missionary meeting? Where do you get that in the Word of God?" Let me tell you, if you just turn over to chapter 14, you'll find that it is a church meeting. And you find here at the end of their tour of Judea, it says in verse 26, "And then sailed to Antioch, from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples." So let us remember that the church has a great responsibility in connection with commendation of those who would go forth into the Lord's work. Let me look at the previous chapter, because it's just possible that there are those And they talk about having an exercise about going into the Lord's work. But let me be very kind to you. If you're not in the Lord's work, He'll never call you to anything else. Because you'll find at the end of chapter 12 that these men that God had marked out in verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem where they had fulfilled their ministry. These men were in the work of the Lord before the Spirit of God made it known to the assembly that He wanted these men separated unto Himself. Let me also put this very clear, that if you are not exercised in the local assembly and serving the Lord as you can in the assembly and in the various ways that, thank God, it's the least we can do, give out tracts, speak to people about the Lord, Sunday school class, if the Lord's given you a gift, using it in the gospel, and where there's no other assembly meetings, seeing if the Lord would have you open up cottage meetings. These are things, dear young brethren, that you don't need to leave work for. These are things that we should be engaged in the service of the Lord. So please, if you're not exercised and not exercising your gift in the local assembly at present, take it very, very kindly that whatever you've got is not the call of the Lord. The Lord has called in the Old Testament people who were busy. And you find that the Lord's work is such an unnatural work. And I say this, and I say it with experience, that unless the Spirit of God would call a man into the work of the Lord, I would not want to see anyone venture into such a service. Let us look then at these verses here for a few principles before I close. Verse 1, I want you to notice the name. And you'll find that they come from different backgrounds. There's a Levite, there's a black man, and you find there's a Gentile, and then you see there seems to be a highbrow person as we get here in Manlene and so forth, and Herod's Trenchard and so forth. You get different types of people. Now when God fits a man for His service, one of the things, brethren, we need to understand is that we should get past racialism. Here you find that there was absolutely, in this assembly, there was no national barrier. There was no color bar. There was no social distinctions in the assembly. These are some of the things that are very, very practical. I come from a country, I suppose, by the way that I speak, I don't have to tell you where I come from. But some of us were brought up in a place where you find that there are great differences between people. I was away for a number of years, and when the troubles started, I happened to minister at a conference about the dear Roman Catholics, that we, the children of God, should seek to speak to them, keep ourselves neutral out of the trouble. And of course, at the end of the conference was, it was almost unanimous, don't come back, don't bring him back here. Brethren, here we have in God's Word what that assembly was in Antioch. Every person in this world, irrespective of their social status, irrespective of the color of their skin, irrespective of their background, they are precious souls for whom our blessed Savior died. And when we read about people being put to death, when we read about a war, and you read about 10,000, or they say perhaps 100,000 of those young Iraqi people, young men, killed, does that not touch your soul? Irrespective of where they are, who they are, what the color of their skin is. I would say that that is very, very necessary, that we would get back past these social distinctions, the color bar, the apartheid, and all these things, and realize that God so loved the world, that this would be our desire, to tell them whether they're high or low, rich or poor, what our dear brother has been telling us here that has thrilled our souls. That's the type of an assembly that these men functioned in. I want you to notice something else it says here in verse 2. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. I want to ask you, dear young man, what do you do in the local assembly? I want to ask you, where is your voice on a Lord's Day morning? Now, I know it's difficult to get up in a morning meeting. When God first saved me, and I was asked to give thanks for a cup of tea. We used to call it the Adam's apple. And you know, it would be dry. And I couldn't give thanks in public. I remember the first meeting that I was ever at, out in Africa, with 8 people. And as we gathered around, the way they had the meeting was, it went in clockwise. And I didn't know what to do, because I couldn't pray. A dear brother got up and he read from Romans chapter 8, "For we know not how to pray as we ought." And I thank God for those words that encouraged me. But please, what I'm trying to bring before you is this, that it's not natural to minister unto the Lord. You need the Spirit of God, for you'll take that morning meeting, what I believe is very, very precious, and when you learn what worship is, if you cannot worship on the Lord's Day morning, and to me worship is this, is telling the Lord, my God, my Father, what the Lord Jesus Christ means to me. It's not me trying to impress people with what I know. It's opening up my heart and from my heart pouring forth praise and adoration to the one that washed us in his precious blood and lives to keep us and coming to take us home. I want to ask you, where is your voice in worship even on a Lord's Day morning? I'll tell you why. If you have learned how to express before our Father God, for that is the one the Lord said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. If you learn what worship is the heart filled with Christ. Worship is the heart overflowing with Christ. And when you are able to tell the Father what the Savior means to you, if you can worship him, the overflow of your heart, indeed you find you'll have no difficulty in witnessing to mankind. They worshiped the Lord. They ministered unto the Lord. The next thing I notice here, and there's many things, but I want quickly to go over them, and you find one of the things was they fasted. Now, fasting, of course, could be something that you may do in private. Some of us may just suggest that it's maybe not doing without food. But you know, instead of having your lunch break, don't eat anything and spend that time in prayer before God. These are some of the things that others and ourselves have exercised over the years. It seems to bring an earnestness into your soul. Lord, I'm not going to have a lunch. I'm going to spend time in reading the scriptures and praying and getting prepared for the little service that I'm going to do. So let us remember that it is in the Word of God. We make no apology for it. But you find sometimes it's good to get away from these things and spend time before the Lord in that earnestness of soul because of perhaps an exercise that is coming over your heart. Then I want to notice something that I believe needs to be said. It says here in verse 2, the Holy Ghost said. Now there were prophets in the early church, and no doubt the Spirit of God spoke through these prophets. But the message is this, and I still believe this is the principle today. The Holy Spirit said, separate me. It's not a matter they weren't commanded to Macedonia, to the work in Macedonia. Brethren, we're taking shortcuts today. I was not commanded to Alaska. I was commanded to the Lord for His work. Elder brethren, please take note of God's precious word. It's not a matter of somebody going someplace and visiting, and that might be all right. But I'll tell you this, you don't need to go and see anywhere. When the Spirit of God calls you, that is sufficient. Because if you're going to go and see, it almost is like the opposite to faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Wait on the call of God. And they were commanded. Notice this. It says here, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul. Some of our dear brethren here, who are older than me, I'm sure they have got that little letter that they appreciate. And sometimes I take out the little letters that I've had. And you know, I can only find one signature on that after all these years. And he's still alive in Ireland. But what about all the rest? You find that they've gone home to be with the Lord. And quite often those that follow know absolutely nothing about you. Therefore it's important to be commanded, not just to the work, but to the Spirit of God. And He is the one who in His sovereignty chooses the vessel and separates the vessel in fellowship with those who are responsible in the assembly. Wherefore, he said here in verse 2, whereunto I have called them. It's a call of God. It's an experience, dear young believer. That was as like the gospel when God called. And we responded by the act of faith. The obedience of faith. And God is still calling. But let me ask you the question. Are you preparing yourself for a call by God to the work? You'll notice something else here it says. In verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, these were the people in the church with responsibility. These would be elders. Brethren, those who are elders, have you an exercise in connection with missionary work? Do you have in your assembly, and I don't know, do you have a missionary spirit? You have an exercise, not just parochial, but have you got your eyes up and see the needs in other places that God Himself could exercise these men about a work that He was interested in? And of course, the work is the work of the gospel, the work of our blessed Lord Jesus, My, there's nothing more wonderful than to be intelligent as to the work of the Lord in other places. These men fasted and prayed. You know, when we read that lovely little chapter this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, I was telling one of my boys, I said, if somebody could minister that in the power of the Holy Spirit, I said, I think there were many that would creep out of the door and go away and get alone with the Lord. It's a solemn then, too, when we read words such as this. The call of the Holy Spirit and the commendation of the local assembly. I want you to notice something else in verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, it did not make them servants of God. You could have 1,000 hands on your head and it wouldn't mean a call from God. The hands upon the head is absolute identification with the Spirit of God's call to those servants that He has chosen. I notice another thing, and you'll notice many other things. It says they laid their hands on them, identified themselves in the work of the Lord, and then I understand this from Mr. Young, and they released them fully and let them go. I wonder, and I ask you, dear young man today, if you were released from the assembly, or if you left the assembly, would they miss you? Are those the ones, as they would see you leaving? What are we going to do? Would you be missed in the local assembly if you left? Here you find they were actively engaged, and the work that they were engaged in was in the local assembly, and this is what they were released from, the work in the local assembly. I just pass these remarks on, because sometimes we can get googly-eyed when we hear a missionary report, and some can get a call at a missionary report, and may it be so, as you heard our brother. But let us solemnize ourselves before God. The Lord's work must be done in the Lord's way. And as that dear man Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's supply. Now may the Lord bless these remarks that I felt exercised to give after that lovely mission report, for His name's sake.